Amen, yes. All righty, praise God. God is good. And he's good all the time. Am I loud enough? Because I'll get louder. I've got a very important question before we start our service. Who in here is hot? Is anybody hot? Okay, then it's just me. I'll take it. I'll take one for the team. It's a little stuffy in here to me, but we're going to get through it. Well, I'm so happy to be in God's house. I'm happy to serve the King of Kings and to worship the Lord of Lords. And I don't know how you've come in here this morning. I don't know what your situation is entirely. But what I want to tell you is that God knows and God cares. God knows and God cares. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows more about it than you do. Amen. Before there was ever a problem, he knew there was going to be a problem. So he hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't left your case. He's still there. He's still there. And so this week has been a very good week, but it's also been a very heavy week at times. It's been a devastating week at times, and all in between. And so what was on my heart continually this week is, God, I know that you're going to come through for your children, but God, this is heavy. God, this is heavy. God, how are you going to make it up? God, how are you going to make it up? And so what I want to talk to you this morning is an age-old question that I think that everybody wonders at least once in their life is, why did this happen to me? Look here, you come out of your mama saying no, and why? Nope. Look here, you leave out of this world saying no and why, just like you came up in it. Amen. And so it's a natural thing to ask Daddy God why. It's a natural thing to say, God, I don't like this. But more importantly, it's important that we understand the heart of God. The heart of God, because if you could truly see his heart, what you would see is that, look here, there is nobody that loves you more. There is nobody that would do more for you than Daddy God. What seems like a loss, God will make it your biggest gain. I promise you that. What seems like loss in your life, God will restore or he'll make it up. God is exactly who he says that he is. The problem is that the believer these days, Brother Mike, they do not know the Word of God. They do not know the Word of God. See, it's not enough to shake my hand. It's not enough to shake Pastor Jeremy's hand. It's not even enough to come up in here and fill a pew. It's not enough. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. There's a part of this you got to work it out yourself. Quit looking around and blaming all your problems on mama and your wife and your old man and the next door neighbor that you don't like. You got me? You got to work it out. And it's work. It's work. There's times, Dale, where it's just gut-wrenching and devastating. God's still God. And he's still good. And he's still good. So I want to take you to Job chapter 1 this morning. The believer needs to know the Word. Because let me tell you something, when you hear something from the doctor, what you need to know is that Daddy God said that by his stripes we are healed. See, you can't claim that healing entirely unless you know that promise of God. See, when you feel defeated, you can't claim that victory as good as you would be able to unless you know that Daddy God says the victory has already been won. See, you got to know the Word, because when you know the Word, you can stand on the Word. When the devil comes in and he wants to get your family, you can say, no, now hold on a minute. The Word says that God was going to raise a standard up like no other. See, but until you get to where you know the Word, you're going to have an issue. You're going to have an issue. You best get up in that Word and read the Word till the Word reads you. When you fall on your knees, you need to say, Daddy, God, help me. Because see, right now, I'm wanting to pull a shenanigan, God, but not my will be done. Your will be done. See, Parish Christian Center is a very odd duck, because let me tell you something. You're not going to come up in here and me sugarcoat the Word of God. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why? Because sugarcoating doesn't get you saved. Sugarcoating doesn't keep you saved. And sugarcoating doesn't get you in heaven.
Amen.
If I tick you off and you make it to heaven, glory. Wouldn't be the first time, and I promise you it won't be the last time. So Job chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands towards Sister Millie. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you right now, God, relieve her of this pain. God, I ask that you'd honor her, God, for honoring you all these years. Lord, I ask right now, God, that everything that the devil meant to take, everything that the devil meant for harm, God, I ask that you'd restore it right now. God, I ask that you'd make it up to her right now. God, every fear, every worry, Lord, we lay it right here at your feet. And God, we know that you're taking it up. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as a kid, I grew up, and a lot of people, I was listening to Dwayne the other day, and he was describing our church years ago, and he said, man, Brother Angelo would take you in the back and whip you and then go preach. He did. Worst whipping I ever got was in the back there in that office. But, you know, one of the things that my family did when we began this ministry, one of the things that as I look back at my childhood, Van, what I did not hear a lot of is the way that we struggled. The way that we struggled. And I always said, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do when I pastor is I'm going to make sure people understand that pastors are the same thing. Look here, from the leadership down, we all struggle. From the leadership down, we all struggle. We all go through things that's awful. We all go through things. I can tell you that in the last 5 years, I think everything under the sun has happened to my family. But what I can say is that God was faithful. What I can say is that God did not leave. We've gone through some things, but let me tell you what. He brought us to it. He'll bring us through it, and he did.
Amen.
And he did. And so he's faithful. Let's go to Job chapter 1 this morning. If you're listening to me live on Facebook, I want to thank you for listening. And I want to tell you this. There's going to be times in this sermonette that you're not going to see me because I'm a walker. Now look here. I'm not going to change the style that I preach just to make people looking on Facebook Live happy. Look here. It is what it is. We're just going to preach. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job, and this man was blameless, and he was upright. In another translation, it said that he was righteous. He was a good person. He was a good person. And he feared God, and he shunned evil. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants, and he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And let me tell you something. The word says that Job was highly favored. Highly favored. He had a lot of stuff. Why? Because God had blessed him. Because God had blessed him. He was a righteous person. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their home, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. See, he didn't even want his kids to curse God. He didn't even want his children to dishonor God. He didn't even want his children to give the appearance that they were doing wrong. So we covered him. So we covered him. It was his regular custom. Regular custom to do the right thing. It was his regular custom, Kayla, to cover the sins of his kids because he loved God that much. And one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. And I want to tell you something. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. The Word of God says that he goes to and fro. He roams the face of the earth. You have an enemy. It's the devil. And he roams around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil, he's out and he's roaming through and he's looking. He's looking to see families that he can divide. He's looking to see marriages that he can split up. He's looking to see your finances crumble. See, you have an enemy. You can't be your head stuck in the cloud because look here. Troubled times, they come on all of us. They come on all of us. Even the best of the best. You don't think I ain't wanted to ask Daddy God, why'd you allow this to happen to Sister Millie? I don't know a better person than Sister Millie. But let me tell you something. Dale, I trust God. I trust God because look here. He's held this family. He's held my family my whole life. He will not fail now. But we got to know what we're dealing with. We got to know what we're dealing with. See, we have an enemy. You have an enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why does the Word of God tell you to be sober? Now, I'm not talking right now about drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, but I'm not leaving it out. Be sober. But most importantly, be sober in your mind. Be sober in your mind. Too many Christians are sipping on trouble and they're getting drunk off of their life problems. It starts in the morning. Right when you wake up, the devil's sitting there and he's going, "Now this ain't going to work out. You're going to have a problem." And you'll think about that problem all day and you'll sip on that fear and you'll sip on that worry and you'll sip on that stress. By noontime, you're drunk on your own stuff. You're in your own head, and you're intoxicated by your life issues. Look here. I wish that I could tell you that you are not going to have some problems, but I'm telling you that you will. I'm telling you that you have struggles sometimes. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because in this life, you're going to struggle. Is anybody getting cold? Are we cold? Deacons, I want you to turn it down a smidge. Let's get it off. I don't want people uncomfortable. Only thing I want you being uncomfortable with is the word convicts you. By all means, be uncomfortable. Let that conviction come in. And it says, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it, and then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil? Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything that he has?" So Satan was saying, you know, Job's only this good because you won't let nothing bad happen to him. The moment you take your hand off of him, he's going to curse you. The moment you take your hand off of him, he's not going to be this good. He's only this good because you've put a hedge of protection around him. You've put your favor on him. See, are you good because you're good? Are you righteous because you're righteous? Or are you good because you're not going through any problems right now? Are you a Christian every day or are you a Christian just on Sundays? What are you? You got to, look, I know this is strong, but look here. The Word of God says, now you choose this day what you're going to have. Are you going to have a blessing or are you going to have a curse? Do you choose life or do you choose death? See, this is real life. Why are we not sugarcoating anything? Because I want you to get reality. Reality. And it says here, have you not put a hedge of protection around him and his household and everything that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. See, look here. What would have to happen in your life for you to leave God? Now, lots of people in here, they say, well, I would never leave God. No, me and God, we like this. Good. Because let me tell you something. You know what I've learned, Megan, after 35 years of being in the ministry? People leave God quicker than they go to McDonald's. God let this happen to me, and I'm mad at him. Decade of their life goes by, gone. Why? Because they're mad at God. Look here, don't pay to be mad at God. Don't pay to walk in unforgiveness. doesn't pay to be mad at God. Don't get mad at God. If you are, get over it. Because look here, God did not do anything to you. The devil may have perverted something in your mind to make you feel like God did that, but let me tell you something. The only thing that God's ever been is good. Okay? And the Lord said to him, "Very well, then everything that he has is in your hands, but on the man himself don't lay a finger." And then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off." So there goes your donkeys, Job. They gone. "They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep." Uh-oh. There goes the sheep. See, do you see how well that this parallels with your life? Have you ever been going through something? And by golly, before you could get through that something. Here come another trouble. Here come another issue. Here come another bill that you already couldn't pay the first one. Here come another life issue. Here come another problem. See, we're not here to play church. We're here to have church. And that's why we're talking about this today, is because this is life. Life seems like the problems overlap. The problems are not nice. They're not going to wait and give you a break, catch your breath. No, the problems come. You ever hear the saying, when it rains, it pours? Sometimes that's how life feels. And I want to show you that you're not the only one that has felt that way. Okay? Many times the devil will try to get in your head and make you feel like you're the only one that's ever had that problem. Like you're the only one that the devil's messing with. Look here, the devil's messing with lots of folks. Lots of folks. Look here, we're living in the last days. And so it says, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off, and they put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you." And yet again, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." Look here. The sheep? Okay. We lost the sheep. The servants? Okay. We lost the servants. The donkeys? Okay. We lost the donkeys. My kid's house, okay, we lost the house. His children, all of them, dead. You don't think you're going to have an opportunity to be tempted to question and be mad at God? You are. I'm telling you not to take that bait. Don't take that. Amen. I'm going to point out some things this morning, because I want you to know what to do when the worst thing happens to you. You're doing your best. You're trying to do your best. You're serving God the best that you know how. You're being the best person that you know how to be, and something bad has happened. Maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to you. See, I would be a horrible pastor if I didn't just stand up here and say, "Look here, here's what you need to do. When the metal hits the road, here's what you got to do." See? Yeah, I love standing up here and preaching about blessing. But see, I would be an awful pastor if I didn't also get up here and say, "Look here, you're going to have some struggles, and here's what you do." Okay, so directly out of the Word of God, verse 20, it says, so he's just heard of his children, all of them. At this, Job got up. Everybody say, got up. Number one, when the worst thing happens to you, get up. Get up. If it's knocked you down, I'm telling you to get up right now in Jesus' name. See, if it's hurt you so badly where you feel like you'll never recover, I'm going to tell you, the first thing to do is to get yourself and get up. Get up. See, the Word of God says when you've done all that you can do to stand, then child of God, what I'm telling you to do is I'm telling you to just stand. I'm telling you to stand. I'm telling you to stand. Why? Because, see, standing is very important to God. See, God's not in the business of knocking his kids over and being a child abuser. God's into causing us to stand. First step, stand. Get up. Get up. Don't allow yourself to stay in a down position. Get back up. Get back up. If you fall a million times and you get back up, a million and one, you're on your way. You're on your way. But you got to get up. Everything in you is going to not feel like getting up. Look here. Throw them feelings to the side, because we don't walk by what we feel. We walk by the Word of God that tells you that you've already won the victory, but there's things that you got to do. That first one is get up. When you heard that your kids died, Job, get up. When the sheep are gone, when the donkeys are gone, when all this stuff done went bad, Job got up. He got up. You think he felt like it? Probably not. You think he was crying because his kids were killed? Probably. You think he was worried about all the servants that got murdered? Probably. But he got up. At this, Job got up and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and then he fell to the ground and he worshipped. Y'all say worship. And he worshipped. There's a problem in today's church. People don't know how to worship God. People don't know how to worship God. Look here. The Word says worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Look here. Many times, Julie, when I come to church, I'm crying on the inside and I'm happy on the outside. I'm telling God, God, you're going to have to fix this. I've done got myself riled up. As I was saying, now look, I've preached under worse circumstances. My dad, years ago, we used to have this lady. I think every pastor's got one. He used to chew gum. And I'm sure it was very annoying to everybody listening to his preaching. And every Sunday, she would call and she would go, Brother Angelo, I wish you'd quit chewing that gum. He kept chewing it. Look here. As pastors, we got to find our joy where we can get it. But I got to sit here and smack this, whatever this is I've bought myself. That's what I'm going to have to do to get through it, Lucas, but we're going to get through it. But people don't know how to worship. They don't know how to worship. See, worship, true worship, is when you don't feel like it. Maybe you're not feeling the song. Yeah, girls ever sing them songs? Maybe you're not really into them ones. Let me give you a little piece of advice. Don't be moved off of the songs to begin with. You know how many people say, Pastor Kelly, I hate to tell you this, but you wore your stripes wrong. I don't like how you got the carpet. I don't like how you did the seats. I don't like that you had a hole in your pants. Well, good luck. Go buy me some that I can fit up into that don't have a hole in them. And then when you got that accomplished, what I really want you to do is go find me a shirt where half of it ain't missing. Okay? Because them crop tops are the devil. Not because they ain't cute, but because, see, girls like me, we don't get up in them crop tops no more. You feel me? But people will find every reason to not worship God. To not worship God. Well, I don't like the lights being off. Okay, we're going to keep them on. The next person. I don't like the lights on. I don't like people looking at me. Okay, we're going to turn them off. I'm hot. Okay, we're going to turn on the air conditioner. No, I'm cold. I ain't coming to church no more, Pastor Kelly. You're so terrible to us. You keep it cold. To have a church service, Crystal, to get everybody in the mood is not going to ever happen. But here's what I can tell you. He got up and he began to worship the living God. Because if God is not your God on the very worst of days, he's not your God at all. See, if you can't hold up in there, then you're going to need to grow. Okay? So get up, number one. Worship, number two. When everything's going wrong, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. See, this pandemic has been very crafty because, see, it's taken worship out of the hearts of believers. Taken it plumb out. People won't lift their hands. Maybe you're not used to lifting your hands. Look here. You ever say, God, I want out of this so bad. Lord, I'd do anything. Look here. Give God some worship time. Give him some worship time. And let me give you just a little clue. You need to worship him in your house. You need to worship him in your car. Because just Sunday and Wednesday worship is not enough. Worship God. Worship him. Worship him. And so here's Job. So he got up and he began to worship. And he said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look here. So many people holy till something bad happens. What are you? What are you? Who are you? You know who you are? You are who you are on your worst day. You are who you are, really, on your worst day. That's who you really are. I get scared when I have bad days because I'm like, am I about to find something out about myself I don't want to know? How terrible am I really? But you are who you are on your worst day. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. But who are you? Who are you? Are you that person that you say, God, I'm going to get up. God, not only am I going to get up, but I'm going to give you the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to give you the sacrifice of praise. And so let's go to Job chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 15. And Job said some really powerful stuff. In verse 15, I would encourage every person to do a deep study of Job. In verse 15, he says this right here. See, he had some friends with him. And see, when you're going through the worst thing, you're going to have some dumbbell friends probably. You're going to have some, and they're going to tell you some silly stuff. You don't need their advice. Right. You ever get some friends, and they're telling you some wacky doodle stuff, and you're going, God, if I took that advice, I'd be worse off than I am now. Yeah. Well, be listening to everybody. Don't let everybody have your ear. What you need is you need God to talk and you need to listen. And God said, Job said this right here. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Look here. Though it's all gone bad. Though it's all gone bad, I'm going to still be exactly who I was before. When I had all the stuff, when I had all the favor, when I had all the blessing, I'm still that person. Because see, look here, what he knew is, look, the stuff was stuff. What he is on the inside is what mattered most of all. And it says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Yet will I hope in him. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 30. And it says, men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet, if the thief is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. Here's my question to you today. Have you caught the thief? The devil does three things. He only has to do three things. Why? Because them three tricks are still working. They're still working on the face of the earth. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. He doesn't need new tricks because those are still working and they're still working good. What you got? What do you got? See, what are you made of? What do you got? See, have you caught the thief? Have you caught him red-handed in your life? Has the devil come in and taken things from you and you've caught him red-handed? See, I am going to encourage each and every single last one of you in here this morning. You cannot afford to be in your feelings when it comes to your life. Get up out of them feelings, because look here, by golly, if you anything like me, them feelings going to change in the next 5 minutes. They're going to change. Is it true or not? They change. Two. You can go from happy to mad to sad to glad all over again in about 20 minutes. I encourage you to get up out of them feelings. Because see, you don't go by what you feel. If we went by what we feel, we wouldn't do much of anything. Because the devil gets us to feel in a whole lot of different ways. Lots of times. Case in point. Catch the thief. Catch the thief. Now, whoever has ever lived in the country. Look here. If I'm not 2 minutes from Sonic, I ain't living there. No. Nope. Not going to happen. And let me tell you something else. That ain't going to happen. They ain't got that fiber optic internet. We ain't living there. Me and Jeremy had two questions. Well, where's Sonic? And what kind of internet you got up in this house? Because look here, if those two don't align, if they don't, the stars don't come just right, no. But I spent my childhood on 10 acres of the wild green yonder. And I loved it, but you couldn't pay me $1 million a day to live in the country no more. We're not going there, Ernie. But let me tell you what happens in the country, especially when you own 10 acres of land. So you got a big field, or a pasture, as they like to call it, okay? And you got a little house in the middle of the pasture. Can anybody guess what you got up going on and up in there? You're going to have a little mouse problem. Living in the country, then you're going to have to get some cats. Well, then you're going to have to get all these other things. So I was a tomboy before I got up on paved roads and got prissy. But I was a wild tom girl most of my life. And when I really get pushed to the edge, the gangster comes out of me. And I remember my roots because, look here, I will get down and dirty. I will get down and dirty with the devil. I will get down and dirty with just about anything if I feel the need to, because it's in me. I done been raised rough. I'm going to be rough if I need to. You ain't Brother Angelo's kid and not come out with just a little bit of gangster up in you. Okay? It's in our genetics. So, I love sweets. I don't even need dinner, Miss Rocky. What I need is ice cream. I will replace every meal with ice cream if I could. I don't need no supper. I need some sweets. Give me some cookies. Give me some of that stuff. That's what I want. Well, you know what? That's what them little mice like to eat, too. Look up here. Them little mice, they're not going to be eating my snacks. Nope. So early one morning when I was about 8 or 9, let me tell you, I believe in miracles because I was raised in 900 square feet. A tiny little thing until we decided to add on. But lots of my childhood was in 900 square feet. That's a miracle, especially in our family. So before school one morning, Lucas, there was a little mouse, and he had been eating my candy and my desserts and my cookies and all my stuff. Mama caught him with one of those God-wonderful glue traps. I said, I want to see that thing that's been eating my stuff. I want to shut the door. I'm going to be up in this bathroom, just me and this mouse. And I got the shoe. And I started talking to that little devil. I said, this is going to hurt. I'm going to make sure of it. And I got that shoe. And I whacked that little mouse. And I showed him who was boss. Look here. Have you caught the thief? Have you caught him? Did you catch him? Did he get up in your family? Did he take your marriage? Did he take your kids? Did he take years of your life in addiction? You best catch that thief. And when you catch him, you get your shoe out. You get your cowboy boot out. Amen? And you take him and you say, now look here, devil, in Jesus' name, I'm going to whack you till I get tired. Then I'm going to take a nap and I'm going to whack you again because you ain't coming against me and my kids. You ain't coming against me and my family. Look here. You don't think you got to make a press for the anointing? You do. You don't think that you got to tell the devil what's up? You do. You don't think you got to make him know whose kids you are? You do. You best catch that thief and you say, look here, this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. Because I'm going to spend my days feeling heaven. Devil, I'm going to take those souls that you got and you want them to go to hell. Look here, we're going to pluck them one by one. One by one. See, look here. You best catch that thief, because if you don't, he's going to catch you. Because if he don't, he's going to catch you. See, you're going to catch him, or you're going to let him go. You're going to catch him, you're going to let him wreak havoc in your life. Look here. That thing was going to eat all those cookies. I ain't having it. Catch the thief. Has the devil taken something from you? Go get it back. Lots of people, they're like, it's in the enemy's camp. I'm going to leave it there. No. You didn't hear the praise and worship song because you was too worried about everything else. But let me tell you how it goes. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. See? You got to get that deep inside of you. Because when God saved you, he didn't make you a pushover. When God saved you, he didn't make you somebody that everybody gets to walk on you, including the devil. Nope. He said, child of God, when you done it all to your best ability, you just stand there and see my glory. But see, you got to know when somebody's stolen something from you. And what do? You make them pay. You make them pay. Next place for me, Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Look here, whatever you're going through right now, it's not even worth comparing to what God's going to do. When the devil comes in and tells you, you're done for, you're not done for. This ain't over till God says it over. And look here, God ain't calling it good. God's not quitting in your life. And so it says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. That's why you don't look at the situation. Stop looking at it. Because you're going to make it bigger than what it is. God is bigger than all of it. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Let me tell you something. There comes a point in battle where you get tired, where you get weak, where you get weary. God has already made allowances for that season. And here's what he does. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Look here, when you cannot pray for yourself, when you cannot pray, when you cannot lift your hands, when you feel like, God, I don't even know if I can go on. It says here in the Word, the Spirit himself intercedes for you. Have you ever been so thick in that battle where you said, I don't even know what to pray right now? I don't even know what to pray, God, because right now I'm at a very low state. Look here. When you're weak, he's at his strongest. When you feel like you can't go on, Daddy God's going to scoop you up, and he says, child of God, we going on. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of this. And he says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. In accordance to God's will. So when we get to that place in that battle where we do not even know how to pray, what to pray, the Holy Spirit is up in that situation and he begins to intercede and he begins to search hearts. He begins to search your life and he begins to pray that everything about you will line up with the Word of God. Everything about you will line up with the will of God for you. See, there's nothing wrong with saying, God, here I am and I don't know much else. I'm right here and I'm weak and I'm tired and I'm weary. A lot of people, they don't want to admit that. There's no problem admitting that. The problem is when you continue to suffer and you don't have to. You don't have to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So trust. When you get to that place in that battle where you don't know what to do, he does. When you can't, he can. When you don't know which way is up and which way is down, he's still got it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Look here. You serve a God that most importantly, He loves you so much. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He has so much compassion for the things that are hurting you. God knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're struggling, and He's compassionate towards you. Who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. Look here. Anybody ever felt the comfort of God? Let me tell you something about the struggle that you're in right now. It is not in vain. And God will comfort. And when He does, know that God will put somebody in your path who is going through the same thing that you got out of. And just as you were comforted, God sang comfort. You know how many times I've sat across from people and been able to say, I've been exactly where you're at. This is going to be okay. Most people, they don't want you to, they don't want all the answers to their problems. What they want is they want somebody to talk to, and they want somebody to look them right in the face and say, this is going to be okay. So I tell you this morning, whatever's going on, it is going to be okay. Amen. And I tell you a step further, you don't have to know exactly how God is going to work it out. Know that He is. You don't have to know every detail. But what you do have to know is, you know what, God, You are working this out. And because of that, God, I will praise You through any storm. I will praise You when the worst has happened. God, I will praise You when nothing bad's happening at all. God, I'm going to praise You because, God, You're worthy. God, You've been faithful. And so it says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our conflict. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we have suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. See, have you been in that place where you're under great pressure? Great pressure. Great pressure. Pressure's terrible. I don't like to be pressured. But pressure comes. We were under great pressure. Far beyond our ability. One of the things that I want to tell you about the battle is it's going to get to a point where it's far beyond your ability. It's far beyond your ability. And I don't want you to get afraid. What I want you to realize is that God is well able. He's well able. When you can't, He can. When something is so much is way over you. You don't have the ability to make it right. You don't have the ability to fix it. Look here. He does. God's not lost His ability. He's not run out of miracles. He's well able. So we see so much in the Word here this morning. People saying, God, I'm going to praise You no matter what. Here's Job. Though He slay me, I'm going to still be me. Though He slay me, I'm still faithful. Because God, You're a faithful God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. See, He could say that after He lost His children. What does it take for you to just give up and curse God? Do you have it in you? I hope not. But let me tell you something. When it gets rough, and it does sometimes, doesn't it, Dale? God is still God. He's still God, and he's still who he says that he is. And so we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. See, what have you set your hope on today? It's like when you set your alarm clock. It's set. The time is set. You need to set your heart on the hope and glory of who God is. Because look here, he won't be a moment late. He won't be a moment late. He's right on time. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver hope. See, God's continuing what he done. He's continuing what he started in us. When trouble comes in our lives, God doesn't run for the hills. He says, okay, we're going to get through this. Last place for me this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Look here. Whatever's gone on, whatever you're going through, know this. He's renewing you. He's going to renew you to the point that you will be soaring with the eagles that he told you you could. For our light and momentary troubles, I want to tell you, when you're in that battle and it looks like it's forever, they're momentary. They're momentary. They're not permanent. You are going through something that is temporary. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So here's what we're going to do. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. There's things that in the natural realm, they may look bad. There's things that on the natural realm, they may look over and done for. You don't look on what you can actually naturally see with your two eyes that God gave you. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. If you could see how God is going to make this better, if you could see how God was going to make it up, if you could see the way that God plans to restore, you'd lay your head down and you'd just go to bed. So I want to encourage every heart in here. I want to ask you, are you going through a thing and you say, Pastor Kelly, right now I'm in the middle of a battle and I need God's help. I don't want to be mad at God. I don't want to run from God. I want to have the strength that you've talked about today in Job. I want to look at this thing and I want to have that peace of God that passes all understanding. If that's you this morning, I want you to stand because we're going to pray and we're going to believe God and we know that we're going to see God. We know that we're going to see him move. God is not a man that he would lie to you. And I want to challenge each one of you that are standing up. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I've preached myself hoarse this morning. And look here, I've done my best preaching. It's not near as good as when you take the Word and you apply it to your life. See, I can't be in your house with you, reading you the hymnals, reading you the psalms. That ain't going to cut it. What will cut it is when you take this word and you plant it in your heart. And then when the trouble comes, you speak to that trouble and you say, now the word of God says such and such. That's how you move forward. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning. God, you see your kids, God, and they're struggling. God, they're in a battle. So, God, right now, Lord, I thank you for who you are in their lives. God, I know that you're coming through right now. So peace, I call you down right now, and I tell you to rest in these hearts. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, that, Lord, you will provide from the north, the east, the south, the west. God, they'll not lack for anything. God, spiritually, emotionally, physically, God, spirit, soul, and body, God, you're coming through right now in Jesus' name. And so I lose that peace that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. And I call each person blessed. I call each person whole. I call each person right now under the sound of my voice favored, highly favored, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there's lots of food. Go grab a box, fill it up.